This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You're listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
It's a rainy Thursday here in our Amherst studio. Zach Jones, Josh Smith, or Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here.
It's habit. I understand. He's also here.
He is. It doesn't help. He is right here.
You are staring right at him when you start.
Yeah. Usually. Yeah.
Almost always. Let's stare at him together. Make it real uncomfortable for him.
Why?
Because I said it. Yeah.
I'm supposed to be removed over here. Not the focal point.
You are the star right now.
Main character energy.
Well, thank you. I guess I'll just take it away. And we got Sal Capaccio with us live in Indianapolis. Sal, how's it going?
Pretty good. I'm just enjoying you guys not knowing each other's names. That's all good.
Yeah, no, it's something that happens. You know,
I feel like, good about it.
I think it's almost an extra point tradition.
I feel good about it.
Yeah, listen, I think so when you're with somebody a lot, like you call them by... You know, and then somebody else comes in, it's just a force of habit, right? You just kind of call them by the wrong name or the other person. So it happens for sure. At least you're not getting into fights at Starbucks, you know, as far as I know.
There we go.
Yes.
That's where I wanted to start.
That is the greatest start to a segment of all time.
I want to talk about this so bad, but I want to know, like, no information. I want to build the story myself.
I want to build the story myself.
You like the imagination more than the actual facts, right?
I want, like,
because, but honestly, like the facts might be better than the imagination in this case. I've no idea. I've heard a lot of things about it, though. Last night we were out and about and heard about this story at the Starbucks. So let me explain to you how it works so you guys know and get a picture here, all right? This will really help you there, Zach. So there's a really big convention city, and there's tons of hotels here. But the hotel where most of the team employees and NFL employees stay is the JW Marriott. And at this JW Marriott, downstairs there's a bar called High Velocity. It's a really big bar area, and it's kind of the congregation meeting place for everybody every night. At some point, we all wind up there, and I'm talking, it's coaches, GMs, scouts, media members all over the place, because everybody's, you know, some are like kind of vultures, just trying to figure out and get information and go talk to people. But it's also great just to kind of meet up with people and network with people. It's a great area. It's a great spot. You know, for example, last night I was out there down there with Josh Reed at Channel 4, and we were just hanging out right by kind of the area where the doors are. And instead of being at, there's two big bar areas, and you can go to one or the other. But we were just kind of talking with people. And Josh looks at me and goes, this is actually the best spot to be because everybody's walking in and out. And sure enough, here comes Leslie Frazier. And it was so great. I hadn't seen Leslie. I saw him on the field in Seattle last year. But it was just super cool to just kind of catch up, talk to him, talk about life, talk about football. You know, it was really cool. But that's what happens. Anyway, so that's where everybody is. Well, right above this on the second floor is a Starbucks. And that's where a lot of people go to get their coffee in the morning, of course, even in the evening. Like, it's just, hey, long day, you're going back to the hotel, you stop at the Starbucks, right? At the hotel. And there's also a lot of media members who hang out there just because a lot of the team executives go through there and they just want to say hi and talk to them and get information. Well, yesterday, we had this report from Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports who said Tom Brady and Matthew Stafford met at this ski resort in Montana, and Brady was like recruiting him. What was the word used? Recruiting or hosting him or something. Well, not long after that, Ian Rappaport quote tweets that and says, they happened to be there at the same time and ran into each other. There was no recruiting or hosting. So Jordan Schultz comes back on Twitter and says, if you believe that, then I have a bridge to sell you. Well, then Rappaport doubles down and he's like, Tom Pelissero, I should say, who was Rappaport's colleague, kind of comes back and backs up Rappaport. And like, well, Don Yee, the agent for Brady, is like, no, like there was nothing going on there. They just met. And Rappaport backed that up with they, like a lot of high profile people. They have homes in that area or they go skiing or something like that. So it was all full on. Let's go and debunk this from Jordan Schultz. Clearly, the agent, Don Yee, in this case, was trying to make out a paint a picture of, okay, my client didn't do anything wrong. He's not tampering, you know. And so apparently what happened was Rap was at Starbucks. Jordan Schultz comes into Starbucks. They see each other. There are words exchanged and maybe even a little bit more of a bowing up or something, right? Like, I don't think it got physical, but it got to the point where it could have been and it almost was. And because Ian Rappaport is an NFL employee, mm-hmm. that had to be reported to NFL security, who is now investigating.
Man,
I my headcanon is so much better for this because, like, this. I'm imagining that someone like jumps up to like one of the shell, like one of the counters where you're giving your coffee, and then just goes mm-hmm. flying elbow into someone else. Like, that's what's in my head, and I kind of just want that to be there forever.
For me, and Sal, I mean, you can speak on this too, because you're around a lot of these reporters. I know Mike Shope has talked about a lot of this yesterday too. It's just like, I'm not going to take the word of Brady's agent as like, oh yeah, no, we like this is totally like serendipitous.
We didn't
crazy.
Do anything.
Montana,
wrong.
A notoriously small state. I mean, you could just run into anybody there.
Yeah. The funny thing was after that happened. I think it was Josh Norris. You guys know Josh, right? Underdog mm-hmm. Fantasy. Mm-hmm. I think it was Josh. I could be wrong. If you look back at his Twitter, it's probably him, I think, who there's a picture of like five guys on a podcast, like just sitting around. And Josh wrote something like, hey, I randomly ran into these guys, so we did a podcast, right? It's kind of a funny joke.
So good.
Right? Like, oh, yeah, we're just randomly running in. Josh Reed and I were saying that. Like, yeah, we just randomly ran into each other at high velocity. Like, no, we were out together, obviously. But it's just so funny how this has been spun and the agents give the information because – Emily, let's be honest, this is the game that gets played, right? Where if Rapp and Pelissero, you know, get the information from Don Yee, you know, this is the information, because later on, obviously, and throughout, you know, I'm sure their relationship, I'm sure that Don Yee's giving them information, very good information about clients and deals, and this is how the game is played.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I get it. It is what it is. Some of the tweets can be like, oh, you just copied and pasted what they sent you. I get it. It's fine. It's just, I'm with you though, Sal. I saw your tweet yesterday. I want a Hard Knocks version of this so bad. Because we're not. Yeah,
so
we're never
I was on this morning.
Off-season one.
Yeah, I was on this morning with Jeremy and Joe, and that's what happened. Jeremy, when I explained the same story I just did to Jeremy and Joe, and Jeremy said, okay, here's a great idea. Hard Knocks, high velocity. I said, oh my God, that is amazing. Hard Knocks, high velocity combine week. Put a camera on the media and what goes on in the conversation and who's trying to talk to whom. And it's pretty wild, actually, guys, to be honest with you.
And this is what I've like become to love about the combine and stuff like that is I like everything that has nothing to do with on the field stuff. Like I've kind of right. stopped like worrying about the testing starts today. It's now in primetime windows. I think today the testing starts at 3. Could not care less. I will find the numbers I want later on Twitter.
It's the
this
true,
is the stuff I like.
It's the true peaks and valleys of the combine testing that really end up like affecting draft stock. For example, you always remember DK Metcalf with the three cone. Or last year, Xavier Worthy breaking the record for the 40-yard dash. That affects draft stock. But typically, it is about what's being reported, which you and the others amongst the media, Sal, you let us know when teams are talking to a certain athlete or, you know, anything of rumors going on about off-season ideals that the general managers want to go after. Those are the more interesting storylines, and it's never anything that's going on actually testing-wise.
Look at Matthew Stafford. He's kind of become, you know, he's not a draft guy, but now there's a real feeling he's going to be moved arguably quickly. Well, I mean, we'll see.
I think that's become maybe the number one story here this week, guys, is Matthew Stafford.
Is Stafford, who's talking to him, maybe tampering going on with the Raiders, which, like, come on. I'm so tired of Brady just, like, being able to kind of do whatever he wants. He can be a minority owner and can still broadcast with impunity, it seems, at bet points, even though he offers absolutely nothing, in my opinion, on the broadcast. Then we have this where, again, a notoriously small
because legally
state,
he can't.
Yeah, a notoriously small state in Montana. He just happens to run into Matthew Stafford.
You never know. You know, it's just the NFL is, honestly, it's the ultimate soap opera. It really is. It's live, real life, real time drama.
So good.
For 12 months of the year. Whether that's during the season and playing games or this time of year where you have the combine, you have free agency coming up in a few weeks, the deals are, you know, guys, I mean, we all know the worst kept secret in the NFL is, you know, even though you're not supposed to talk to agents before March 10th, that's happening this week, right? I mean, that's what happens. They see each other. You're not supposed to, but everybody knows. And that's where you get a sense. How did we know last year? I could tell you last year, like it was, or 2 years ago, I guess it was, whatever it would be. I came out of here knowing, like, okay, Tremaine Edmonds is getting paid by someone. Like, he's not going to be back in Buffalo. Like, it was just kind of, like, known because that's what happens. You talk, these agents are all here. You know what's changed, though? I'm going to tell you guys this because you're both college fans. I know you are very much, Zach. What's really changed, too, though, is, and I've run into quite a few people this week from the college world agent-wise, like the agents of college. I'm not talking about the guys going to the NFL now. I'm talking about the guys playing in college with NIL deals.
Well, I mean, look, now we're getting different managers. Game. The Senior Bowl, Sal, is going to look radically different next year with Jim Nagy now going to Oklahoma. That's what it's going to be now. We've all kind of known the SEC, Big Ten, like those have essentially been developmental leagues for the NFL. Now the veil is off. Like, they're essentially the development league for the NFL. You will go where you will get playing time and where you can develop, where you will play the best competition. Me and Derek were talking about this yesterday when the Nagy stuff broke. There was always kind of like shadow GMs. It was just illegal to do. But now it legally is allowed to happen. It doesn't necessarily have to now be your biggest booster that was kind of the guy that was doing it. You know, if you've ever seen the 30 for 30, Sherwood Blunt for SMU was the guy.
Yep.
It's actually a position now, right? And look at all these teams. I mean, even Ron Rivera now is going back to college, right? Saying he's the GM, whatever his position there is, he's helping out. But think about these teams. I mean, Adrian Wojnarowski, it's amazing, right? GM of St. Bonaventure. It's actually a position. So a couple quick stories for you last night. Again, these are the things that happen when you're here. So I'll say I was out with my buddy Josh Reed last night at Channel 4, and we happened to be, you know, at a place called Harry and Izzy's where a lot of people go. And all of a sudden look over and he sees a friend of his as he's known for a while, but we start talking and through other people, we start meeting and happen to meet a person. I'm not going to say what school, but this person is at a high profile school who is the person in charge of their NIL money. And I'm like, well, what a different world that is for you now. And he looked at me and goes, Sal, he said, my job now, all I do is take care of agents. I got to wine and dine these people because I have to keep my players. He said, these agents are just selling these. It's crazy. He said, so that's what I'm doing. It's every year. He said, I got to keep players. It's not even about the, you know, the guys leaving in the portal. I mean, or getting guys from the portal. It's about keeping your own players, right? Mm-hmm. And literally said, that's my job now, just to make friends with these agents in college. It's incredible. And then I go over to High Velocity and I see a guy who happens to guy happens to be a Bills fan. He goes, hey, Sal Capaccio, I know you. And I'm like, okay. He's got a NCAA lapel. I'm like, you know, what do you do? He said, I work for the NCAA. He says, I'm in charge of some of the stuff that comes on with the NIL stuff. And we started talking and He's like, there's nothing we can do about it right now. Every time there's a court case, we lose.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
Like, there's nothing we... It's wild, right? So, yeah, guys. I mean, that's what this week is about. It really is just so much of that stuff. It's such a drama-filled week in a lot of ways, but so good to get information and learn things. By the way, I'm going to sound like the old guy here. Do you guys know who Mike Mamula is? Do you ever hear that name?
Oh, I've heard the name, yeah.
Okay, well, you were talking about combine workouts. When you get a chance, look up Mike Mamula. He's a Lackawanna native, went to Lackawanna High School, and he played at Boston College. He was a good college player. He was one of the first people to ever actually specifically train for the combine and its drills.
Oh,
yeah. Went to the combine and completely dominated at the combine in these drills. And because of that, he was taken with the 7th overall pick by the Eagles and completely busted out.
Yep, he's in the league for 5 years, just with the Eagles,
yep.
out by the year 2000. And that is a thing that I think maybe gets lost now in the modern day, is that guys have to train for the combine. It is its own sort of thing, which is why now a lot of these guys, too, you will see, don't really do a lot of drills. I just saw now in a report that Mason Graham, the other defensive tackle from Michigan, only doing the bench press. That's the only thing he's doing.
Yep.
And it's because some of these guys are like, no, I'm going to get ready for the pro day, which is ultimately... We're going to put together the
nicest looking... A combine
with
more control.
Yeah, we're going to put together the nicest looking pitcher for our player to get them drafted. I remember...
It's a personalized combine for your players.
And I remember, I said this on the nightcap a few nights ago, I remember being awestruck when Teddy Bridgewater, coming out of Louisville, decided at his pro day, I'm going to take the gloves off and show everyone I can throw without the gloves. And it was a terrible pro day. And my whole thought, even at the time, I was a lot younger then, but even at the time I went... Dude, what are you doing? The whole point of this is like to make yourself like look the best you can. I wouldn't be surprised if at Wyoming's pro day, when Josh Allen was going out there, they specifically put some of these slowest receivers they had out there, Sal, to maybe try to get, you know, Josh like, hey guys, yeah, look what he's been working with, but look how far he can throw the ball. Just to build him up that little bit more. That's what the pro days are. Is we're gonna make our guy look the best he possibly can. Where the combine,
it's really
there's so many random things being thrown around.
Yep.
How the game is played from a lot of different levels. So the other thing that's here this week, too, guys, is, you know, there's the testing. But I'm here to tell you, like, listen, the testing is the testing, and the numbers are the numbers. They're not the teams that do it right, the teams that understand. Now, you get your guys like Mamula and other guys. But now they're to a point where people know these guys train. All the testing is confirmation now. So what happens is they'll go and they'll test. And I've been told by multiple people in front offices over the years, as long as there's nothing really weird about the testing, like a guy is way better or way worse than something we expected, then if that happens, they'll go back and recheck the tape. What did we miss here? Why was he so good there when we didn't think he would? Why was he so bad there when we didn't think? Otherwise, okay, it's the testing. And, you know, we expect this. What's really important here is the medical.
Yes.
They do these physicals with these doctors who are, there's a pool of doctors they do the medical with, and they get these reports on these guys. And then each team gets 60 interviews. The Bills are meeting with a lot of defensive linemen. They're meeting with a lot of safeties. That's great because those are positions that they need. Receivers, right? They don't, we'll see who's saying they're meeting with them or not.
Right.
But they don't have to meet with a lot of offensive linemen. Not a position of need. They don't have to meet with quarterbacks. Not a position of need. So you can focus your attention on these other positions, but those... That's where all the stuff matters here. It's the medical and it's the interviews. You get 15 minutes with 60 different players over the week. In those interviews, you can structure them however you want. You could have in that room whatever people to ask, the coordinators, the coaches. The Bills actually have their team psychologist in that room with them. She asks a couple questions at the end of the interview, whereas some people do not ask questions. They do have their psychologist. They don't have their psychologist. It's just totally different. And I know this because one of the prospects told us this, you know, that he was in there. And that happened. So everybody treats this totally different. That's what's so fascinating.
Yeah, it's still not a perfect science, but it is so cool how much the draft process for teams has changed from even just, you know, 15, 20 years ago, where a guy like Ryan Leaf, you know, had a lot of character issues, didn't matter, cared all about the physical stuff. Now you're getting, you know, potentially out-of-pocket questions in interviews just to see a guy's reaction. It's really, really cool what it's become.
Agreed.
Sal, we know we got to get you out of here. You got to catch a flight. We'll see you soon, man. Have a great flight. Thanks for coming on with us.
You got it, guys. I know you guys have it in there, and you know, the fans, if you want to play for the fans, really good stuff with Chris Sims yesterday. I talked with him about Josh Allen winning the MVP, so we have that and a couple other things in there if you guys want to get to that today. But thanks a lot. Great week this week, and I'll be back, and I'll be on tomorrow.
Happy flight, no fight.
Thanks, guys.
That was Sal Quaccio there on the Wester Hotline. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I'm glad everyone came to my defense without knowing the context that I was up till like 4 in the morning. That's the key.
Oh, no, no. I didn't even care about that. My first comment when you said not my name was, he'd been doing this all season. Like, Josh was sitting in front of you over here all season. So it's perfectly normal.
But
now that said, I think we should stare at Owen next.
Is Owen still here?
Yes.
There he is.
Yep. Everyone stare at Owen.
He can't even hear us.
He can't even hear us. That's the best part about this.
No idea.
No idea what's going on.
Oh,
there it is.
Josh told him there it is.
Snitch. Don't make me Jordan Schultz you.
Jordan Schultz. Real quick on that. I do want to talk more on the draft process. It is something where, like, I could totally understand why someone like Schultz, who is over, like, I would probably say the last 2 years, really built himself up into one of the most credible insiders in the NFL.
Yes.
No matter how you feel about that position, Schultz has gotten to a point where
Schultz has worked his way up.
Yes. And I mentioned it, and I wanted to make sure I mentioned that. There are times, and Adam Schefter's another one, but, you know, we'll use Rapoport here because he's in the story. There are times where it does feel, I'm not saying it is, but it does feel like it is just copied and pasted from an agent, from a team, what have you. It feels like, not saying it definitely is, but it feels like he's just doing the team's PR work for him. And I can understand where somebody like Schultz is going, dude, you make us look bad.
Yeah.
By not reporting the whole story. They met up in Montana. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
and
no.
And it was just serendipitous? It just happened to happen?
Yeah,
oh, that's
no.
Crazy.
That's, and again, that
especially
is...
Especially when Brady has a history of, number one, not, you know, playing fairly, but also just flat out, you know, what would the word be? Tampering with the Dolphins.
Wait.
They lost a draft pick talking to him.
You're telling me that a guy who has tampered with an NFL team, deflated footballs, and been part of a spying procedure...
Yeah.
...is... All of a sudden, it's all hunky-dory?
And he gets the benefit of the doubt. And to be perfectly honest,
no
it's,
way.
It's incredibly embarrassing for Brady's agent to come to his defense like, dude, your word means absolutely zero here.
Yeah.
If anything, it makes it look more like my client did do something. I'm here to do damage control because a reporter actually called us out on it.
And
it's embarrassing.
If we want to get technical here, Schultz is also sticking up for a coworker. They both work for Fox.
No.
Or no. Actually, it's the opposite. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Rappaport sticking up for the NFL, for the Shield and everything like that. Mm-hmm. That's Schultz attacking a coworker, so to say.
Yeah.
As they both work for Fox.
Because I think in reality,
I got caught up on the fact that they're both Fox Sports employees.
But I think a part of it is, too, is Brady, you're being brazen about it. Like, enough. And also...
You're telling me the guy that hired a GM named Spytek is not...
So good.
Yep.
Also, real quick.
The jokes write themselves, but I'm here to say them, okay?
Real quick on the Stafford thing, too, and this is really my last thought on this. Is it really a good idea to go get a guy who's, like, contemplated retirement routinely the last 2 years? Is it really? Especially in the AFC West, where let's not act like you're right there. You're just a quarterback away. You're not.
You're not.
And Stafford, and I like Stafford a lot, but it's really helped him that he's been in the NFC. Where there isn't a ton of great quarterbacks. Very good teams, not many great quarterbacks. He all of a sudden goes into a division with Mahomes, Nixon, Herbert.
Oh, my God.
That might be one of the better divisions, quarterback-wise, from top to bottom in the NFL.
And even just team-wise.
Like
Chargers have a stanky defense.
Yeah.
The Broncos have a talented defense and an offense that I would say is capable of a lot more growth heading into next year.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City's Kansas City.
But it feels like a team. And this is why I think the Giants are the perfect ones for Stafford. You're desperate. And everyone knows it, and that's fine. You really probably shouldn't have your job right now.
But the Giants are also a roster that is not a quarterback away.
No, but for the job point, I mean, it's like I can totally buy why Shane and Dable would be desperate to get Stafford. They need to be competitive now. They probably won't be. You're right. They're not a quarterback away, but they need to make a move that signifies that they're ready to play ball with the big kids. Again, they're not. The Raiders, you just hired a new staff, a new GM. Why hamstring yourself to a 36-year-old quarterback who, again, has flirted with retirement routinely the last 2 years? Also, what's in the water with the Rams? Why is everyone there play around with retirement for like a year and a half, 2 years? Donald did it. McVay still kind of does it.
Contemplated.
Stafford does it.
It's the LA life.
Yeah, it's got to be something like that where they're like,
That's what it is.
Good, dude. Like, I woke up. My view's beautiful. The beach is right there.
Do I really need to get hit in the pocket?
Yeah, yeah. Do I need to work, you know, 90-hour work weeks in the off season if I'm McVay? Like, maybe I don't. I've got my Super Bowl. I'm good. I don't know.
Can I just retire on top?
I find the Stafford thing to be, like, way less interesting, mainly because I don't think he really does. It's not Aaron Rodgers. It's not. But it is sort of in that same vein where I'm like, does that really help you guys, or is it just like a nice offseason?
Are we sure this
points?
Is a good idea?
Yeah. And I'll say the same thing for Darnold. Don't get me wrong. I think where you need to go is young quarterback, develop, rookie deal, and get a guy with high-end traits. But I can at least argue for Tennessee, you're in a bad division. Darnold did show a lot. And you'll have the number one overall pick. Let's say they take Travis Hunter, because now a lot of the rumors from Indy has been actually that he's like the number one receiver on most people's boards. They just may not be comfortable playing him at both positions.
Right.
He may have to do kind of like spot duty here, wide receiver, but full-time corner. Tennessee, though, might be like, yeah, but if we get Darnold with him, you know, with our defensive line that we feel pretty good about. Levis took us out of a number of games early last year.
I still love the idea of the Titans trading down, getting themselves extra third-round picks so that they can get some more selections in the top 100.
I'm with you on that. Especially, too, like you look at somebody like Abdul Carter, who it now seems like the medical reports like he may not actually have to have surgery, but it's still like out there. Maybe they are like, ooh, perfect. We can now trade down.
We can drop to 3 or 4 and get an edge rusher.
And he'll still be there. You know, because of the quote-unquote medical concerns. We don't really know if there are massive medical concerns, because it sounds like even if he gets the surgery now, he'll be ready to go by minicam.
Yeah,
It doesn't sound like his rookie year is gone.
Everything's shaping up.
Yep. 803-0550, the number two call. Testing does start today at the NFL Combine. Of course, because it has now become popular, it's in prime time. Defensive lineman, linebackers, today testing gets going at 3 p.m., or at least televised testing will get going at 3 p.m. today. The Sabres are also in action down in Carolina to take on the Hurricanes. They've not won at Carolina since 2016, but the Sabres are on an incredibly hot run as of now. They're still not very close to a playoff spot, but they're at least making themselves interesting. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I did mention there a little bit that there was seemingly a bit of an update on the Abdul Carter situation. Late last night, it was reported that he, through the testing. Sal mentioned it when he met with us. Like, the really big thing here is the medical testing. Something popped up with him. And now, this is about an hour ago, this is from Adam Schefter. Doctors told Penn State defensive end and projected number one overall pick, Abdul Carter, that after further scans on his right foot, surgery is not advisable. Carter will work out at his March 28th pro day at Penn State. Quote, I cannot be more confident that there will be a non-factor when he's drafted, Carter's agent Drew Rosenhaus said today. He will put on a show at his pro day, which, of course, as we've mentioned, that's sort of become where a lot of these guys will actually work out. There's a lot less variables. The schedule is much more regimented. It is not as intense. Sal mentioned it, too. These teams get 60 interviews, and many of them, you know, we're seeing with the Bills now, the Bills are grabbing essentially every defensive lineman that's there, every cornerback and safety that is there, and really going from there. And for a lot of these guys, a lot of teams are doing the exact same thing. So they're, you know, half testing, half getting ready, you know, staying loose, and then they're trying to fly up to meetings, and then they've got this medical test, which that could be, you know, we've all been to a doctor's office. That could be a whole adventure.
Yep. And we've all been to a doctor's office.
You know, and then here, to perfect example. Look what the testing has become, too. The testing used to be in the morning. Now, it's an all-day event. You are meeting with the media, you know, yesterday. Then today, we just mentioned all that stuff. And then now later, you will have workouts most of the day. And as many of us have mentioned, for a lot of these guys, wide receivers, running backs, quarterbacks even, you run a bad 40 time, that baby sticks with you forever, positive or negative.
Yeah.
It sticks with you forever. You mentioned with DK Metcalf, he runs a bad 3-cone because someone gave him bad advice on running it.
And he went in the third round.
Yeah, and you brought it up too. The DK Metcalf combine, I remember, was how much of a roller coaster it was, because he comes in, he's this huge human being. I mean, physically off the charts. His 40 time is unbelievable. And then the three cone happens. And it was this immediate, like, you know, and you saw it last year with guys like Brian Thomas Jr., Adonai Mitchell. You know, there'd be one test or one stat that they're grouped with like a bunch of bad receivers, and you're like, that's the one. That's the stat that tells me they're not going to be successful. For Metcalf, it was the three cone, that he was grouped with a lot of bad, slow receivers, and it was like, he's never going to be able to reach that 4.3 speed. Why are we even doing this? And it probably cost him to be, what, the last pick of the second round?
Yeah.
You know,
it was nearly third round pick.
That's why a lot of these guys don't end up testing at the combine. It's not advantageous for them. Now, some of these guys that are going to be from smaller schools or, you know, here, perfect example, Xavier Worthy. You run a good 40 time, you are in the first round. You are getting paid a couple more million dollars than you would have if you ran a 4.39 40-yard dash. Or even at your pro day where no one's really paying attention. Instead, he does that at the combine. He's the star of the combine because he breaks a record that, you know, was standing forever. And he's a first-round pick right at the end, but he's a first-round pick. And that's for a lot of these guys. It's the same why you're seeing some quarterbacks throw, but not others. The last number one overall pick at quarterback to throw at the combine, Derek, was Baker Mayfield in 2018. And if you remember, I mean, we all remember that draft class, there was not a consensus on who the number one pick was, especially at quarterback.
That
where
is
now,
true.
Where now, Shador and Cam, I think, can only hurt themselves by throwing. If you have a bad day at the combine, that could be all the difference in a relatively weak quarterback class.
Yeah, I'm great at starting sentences there. When it came down to it, when Mayfield did that, it was an attempt to raise draft stock, take that risk, and really have a chance when you are in a slugfest with, quite frankly, two or three other people for being the top quarterback selected.
Yeah, they all were fighting to, weird.
Save for Jackson.
Yeah.
They were all fighting to be the first quarterback taken.
Yeah, weirdly by, you know, Cleveland. You're all fighting to go to Cleveland. I'd never heard that in my life. But, well, here we are.
I mean, Mayfield made that work.
That's right. But, you know, I don't...
He wanted it.
I haven't
seen
for sure.
It made sense.
Yeah, I haven't seen for sure, but I think Milroe's throwing at the combine as well. Of course him and, you know, him, Jackson Dart, Quinn Ewers, of course they're throwing at the combine. You've mentioned a lot. A team late in the first round wanted that fifth-year option on a quarterback. And all it takes maybe a good day at the combine and your pro day throwing-wise from guys that maybe were up and down this year.
That's all you need.
It's all you need.
Any sort of way to bump the draft stock. You're taking a risk doing this because if you look terrible, you're going to be a day three pick.
But a lot of these guys are like,
take a shot.
Take a shot. I need shot in the arm. We talk about it a lot with the Sabres. I need a shot in the arm. Some of these guys, that's what this is.
If you're able to boost the stock, take a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like that there are, like, for your safer prospects, it's like, yeah, we're going to make them the best option possible. We're going to make them look the best that we can at a pro day. Because there's more control to what you can do, who you bring in, and chemistry and familiarity with drilling is important there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are desperate for a way to find any sort of advantage, any sort of boost, you take that chance.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also do the pro day where you are able to make better fits. So I do not mind that more players are not doing all of the testing at the combine.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, as you said, it's the off field that is truly mattering more these days anyway.
Yeah, all the
it
good
is
performances
the anomalies.
Too. Yeah, all the good performances will do is, as Sal put it, it's going to force teams to go back and look at the tape, which, if you leave with a good impression, it may be, yeah, you know, all right, we can work on that. We can fix that. Where if you have a bad performance, it goes, that's not changing.
If there was a bad performance, it's what are we missing? Why did this happen?
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking for nitpicks. If you do something well at the combine, you are looking for, okay, you're looking for the extra pieces that you were missing.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to find a positive. So it has to do with mindset as well, and that's why when it's got to be a catastrophically bad performance at a combine for it to really garner people's attention and affect draft stock that way.
Because
now you're looking at nitpicks.
Yeah, we have seen disastrous. I'm blanking on anything that come to mind. I usually only remember the good ones, but I mean there have been combine performances where you're like, oh, well, that's not good.
And for me, that starts with the most memorable one for me is DK.
Mm-hmm. For positive and negative, yeah.
Metcalf has such a bad three cone that he ends up in the second round.
Mm-hmm. Michigan defensive tackle Kenneth Grant was found during the combine medical evaluations to have a hamstring strain. He won't be participating in on-field drills today. Rooting for his health, but
that's going to affect draft stock.
That may affect. Well, look, he was a guy who mentioned, I'm running a 4.8 in the 40 at 345 pounds.
Now, oh,
we literally
man.
Will not know now.
Teams are like, I get to miss that.
It could be something.
Hey, you know what? Good. Good that it's being missed.
Again, I'm not rooting for injuries, but that was something I was thinking about coming in this morning is like, if he can't blow up the combine, his name kind of just goes into the shuffle. Maybe a Shamar Stewart, who is an athletic freak out of A&M,
yep,
blows up the combine today. Now he's the guy you keep hearing about, like he's the first round talent. He's the, you know, the surprise pick of the first round. And a guy like Grant, who most of his college career was a Robin, can continue to kind of be that. I'm just saying. I'm not rooting for it.
I love how you're rationalizing.
But well,
this is your guy. This is your draft.
It's totally my guy.
This is your first round draft crush.
It's totally my guy. This is the fastest, by the way, I've found. Like,
you've identified a player that you are ready for.
Yeah.
And this is the part where I can always appreciate being friends with you. That you will say some unhinged stuff.
Absolutely.
Particularly off air about these sorts of things.
Yep.
And being able to ask you questions like that is fun to me. And I'm just like, hey, guess what? Kenneth Grant.
I mean, I text reporters of the Bills going, like, tell them. I'll pick them up at the airport when the Bills draft them.
Yep.
Do it. Got a response.
Exactly.
It was, we'll pick them up at the airport.
There you go.
So I've got a group going.
You also got a new phone, who dis?
Yeah, well, that's – but I knew that was coming. So it wasn't legitimate. It wasn't the bad one. I knew it was coming.
But it still happened.
It still happened.
It's
my heart broke just a little. Just a hair.
You're just like,
Just a hair. It's fine. But Sal brought this up too, is the medical reports. This is maybe the most important thing. And there will also be some teams that don't love that he had a hamstring injury.
Mm-hmm.
Those typically become something that does happen a lot in your career. If you get one, two in college, it's like, okay, here we go.
Got to keep the hammies loose.
And the Bills may be one of those teams that go, I don't love that.
Yep.
I don't love that. I want a clean bill of health coming into the NFL.
Because the Bills oftentimes do not take players with injury concerns.
Mm-hmm. So, look, I'm sitting here going, like, this could be great for the Bills. The Bills also could be going, like, we'll take somebody else. Derek Harmon out of Oregon is another guy. Not getting a lot of first-round love, but the Bills pick at 30. So you're going to get more guys that maybe are in the second round. What have you. 803-0550, number to call if you want to jump in on this conversation, talking combine. We'll talk Sabres as well throughout the day. Let's get connected to, though, our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Anthony joins us today. Anthony, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, good morning, guys. So, you know, I'm a huge fan of, you know, the combine and whatnot. I mean, it's fun to watch, and it's, you know, fun to see these guys compete. But, you know, the less of these players that are throwing and following and doing the drills, you know, as a competitor, I feel like, you know, you would want to show everybody that you are the top dog. You're the guy. You need to take me. You know, I feel like a confidence level is important in a situation like that because, yeah, okay, you have a bad day, but you go back in your pro day, and then you can show everyone exactly what's going on. You know, everyone has a bad day. So I just like the competitive end of it where, you know, you keep throwing, you keep playing, and it's just – you just show everybody that you're a competitor and you want to be the best. So that's kind of where I'm at with mm-hmm. the whole combine. I'm not sure – I know you guys – you know, I know the consensus now is everyone's not throwing and – you know, the less they do, the better, you know, for their stock. But, you know, I don't know. As a competitor, I just feel like you just want to have – you have that burning desire to be in the league, and you want to show everybody that you are the guy. So that's what I'm going to say, guys. Have a great day. And as Josh Allen says, be good, do good. God bless, and go Bills.
Anthony, man, thanks for the call. I can totally understand the idea of wanting the competitive juice. Look, as somebody that was very competitive in my athletic career – I specifically wanted some events I wasn't good at to try to beat people because it was like a notch on my belt. Like, and I agree with that. There is, though, something to it now of the calculated risk. what do I gain from this? You know, let's go back to those, because we're talking about throwing at the combine. Let's go back to some of those quarterbacks. What does Trevor Lawrence gain from throwing at the combine?
Yeah. He was already
the consensus number one overall pick.
When you are considered, and typically you tend to know when you're talking to your agent, you have a sense of where you're going to end up at.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And there are ways that the stock falls and rises. And you're typically told, yeah, you're going to gain nothing from this. You can lose more.
Yeah.
And when the risk outweighs the benefit, for anyone in society, you are human. If you hear that, you tend to...
It changes your attitude.
You tend to shy away.
Yeah.
So.
You know, it's you look at this year's draft class with Shadur and
Cam. Hey, you have a chance to only lose money on this.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm good.
I'm good.
Thank you. I appreciate you looking out for me. I wanted to do it, but you told me that all I can do here is lose money.
And especially, and to the caller's point, bringing up the pro day, a lot of scouts now do know what the pro day is.
They flock to pro days. It also makes it easier on the scouts.
Well, it makes it easier on the scouts.
Because now you don't have to watch everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to a pro day for players that you are interested in. But say there's players within the school that, like, you've only got a couple of, like, corners. And there's teams that are like, I'm not really in the market for secondary this year.
Right.
I don't need to go to this. So you don't have to send representation. So it saves you time. Time that you're now scouting on your guys.
Mm-hmm.
So it may sound more individualistic, but it is more effective. And it is more focused.
Yeah.
The way pro days are done, there is control for the player's side, but there's also efficiency
mm-hmm.
from the team side. You do not have to go and watch all these pro days. You don't have to spend your time watching everyone at the combine.
And
sit there and wait for all these players before you get to the guys that you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to where you want to for what you want. And it is more efficient that way. And therefore, you are going through your draft prospects with a fine-tooth comb.
Yep. But again, to the risk-reward, I mentioned Teddy Bridgewater already. That was his pro day.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot imagine his agent advised him to take the gloves off, even if teams were asking.
Yep.
Don't give them an inch. This is a process where they will miss more than they hit. So, you know, we mentioned too with these guys,
yeah,
you want to leave them with a positive impression, but this is also a job where they, you know, they are going to miss far more than they hit. So you give them any negative impression, they will probably move off of you. It's why, like, the medicals are so important. Guys like Abdul Carter and Kenneth Grant, none of these injuries are going to hold them back any bit of their rookie season, but there may be a team that goes, nope, we need a clean bill of health.
Yep.
And we cannot operate with you having a hamstring strain or potentially surgery on your foot. 803-0550, the number to call. When we come back, Chris Sims sat down with Sal Capacci. Heard him talking about it here when he was on with us about 45 minutes ago. We'll listen back to that after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And this is WGR.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 3-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a rainy Thursday here at our Amherst studio. But we will go back to Indianapolis as Sal Capaccio met with Chris Sims yesterday. Here is that interview.
Chris Sims joining me here from the NFL Combine. All right, Josh Allen finally wins the hardware, the MVP. Your thoughts on watching that happen?
Well, I was very happy, right? I mean, honestly, I was shocked. Like, it was one of those where at the Super Bowl, I was in my room, and I had it on, and I saw him go up, and I was like, wait, is this the MVP? Like, what? He won the MVP? Because, I mean, of course, usually it goes to the guy that won first team All-Pro, which was Lamar Jackson. I know I voted for Josh Allen. You know, Lamar Jackson's awesome. Don't get me wrong. Josh Allen's awesome. They're two of the greatest quarterbacks I've ever seen in my life. Like, I don't hold that, you know, lightly. But to me, this year, with the way Josh Allen played, when you just talk about what it means to be the most valuable player, I don't think there's a player that's more important to their team in all of football than Josh Allen, right? He affects their win-loss record. The style of play in which they play is all because of Josh Allen. And for me, when the MVP is not only embodies that, but moments. And Josh Allen had a run from like mid-November to mid-December where he was the number one story in the league for like 6 weeks in a row. We went, did you believe what Josh Allen did Sunday and the Sunday night? And oh my gosh, it was one game after another. And Lamar Jackson, as awesome as his year was, hey, his team was really good. He had an all-time running back. He had a better support system. Things were a little easier for him. And I'm not taking away from Lamar. I'm just saying the set of circumstances were harder for Josh Allen. And, of course, he showed us that he was capable of handling that.
And it's okay to have someone first-team All-Pro and another guy MVP because they are two distinctly different types of awards.
It's odd. Like, it's not something I would do, right? I mean, to me, but I can understand the argument, right? I can understand, hey, we think this guy played quarterback really well the whole year and played the position of quarterback maybe better than anybody else. But this guy was the most valuable player to his team and did maybe the most wow things through the year. That's where I can see that argument. That would be weird for me, right? But I think in the two instances we're talking about it, that it happened, like in 87 with Joe Montana and John Elway, it was very similar. It was like, hey, Joe Montana's, it's like symphony watching him play quarterback. But the Broncos wouldn't even be in the Super Bowl if it weren't for John Elway. Like, are we kidding me? Like, nobody could have brought the Broncos to the Super Bowl except for John Elway. So I think it was a little bit of that, and that's the kind of talent he has. He has all-time great talent, Josh Allen.
And then before I let you go, there's still a thought that maybe he still could use another field stretcher, a guy that can maybe have some more explosive plays. The Bills have gone to this everybody-eats mentality. He wins MVP without Stephon Diggs, but how important is it to have that one guy late in the game? Maybe they didn't have that in the AFC Championship
game. They don't have that on either side of the ball. And that's where they're not in the class of the great teams in the league right now, right? And that's why he's so valuable, because he's the greatest thing going. Now, is the support system, I thought this year was the best he's had, because at least he had the running back and the James Cook, and there was a good group of receivers. To me, I always thought Stephon Diggs and the Gabe Davis combination, other than maybe the first year they were there together, was so overrated. I mean, what did Gabe Davis do last year?
Oh, not much.
Exactly right. Stephon Diggs, like, it's good, but you even saw before he hurt his knee in Texans. Nobody's double-teaming him anymore. Nobody's going – he's not like, oh, no, he's going deep. Stephon Diggs, the defensive coordinator's up all night because he's worried about Stephon Diggs. No, but I do think they need another playmaker, yes. I don't know where it happens. I like a lot of what they have, but they don't have a guy on either side of the ball in big moments like Kansas City does with Chris Jones or other great teams. The Eagles got 10 of them, right, that can make a play that goes beyond what the coaches are asking for. And that's, to me, they're just the one spot they need to get figured out.
And they've even kind of said that in their own way. So do you think they should at least do whatever they can to investigate in a Myles Garrett, a Max Crosby, a Micah Parsons, someone if they could shake loose?
Yeah, sure. It's just, you know, you don't want to ruin your whole team and ruin the next 3 years of your team just for one player. You know, that's the tough thing. And that's what they're going to have to figure out, the asking price and all of that as well. This is a good draft for rushers, right? They got a few things they got to figure out that are important. I mean, Von Miller, what they're going to do with that. See, again, there's another instance, though, of your highest paid player on defense can't be non-existent in big moments. That is a recipe for, no, you're not that good, right? And that's the problem. And I'm not taking anything. Von Miller's one of the greatest of all times, but we know right now he's not that. And that's where they got to figure some things out with their whole salary cap.
Thanks a lot, Chris. Always appreciate your time.
Thanks, buddy.
You got it.
Yo, what up? How are
you? That was Chris Sims with our own Sal Capaccio, who is on his way back to Buffalo as testing begins at the NFL Combine. If you did miss it, one of my draft crushes, Michigan defensive tackle Kenneth Grant. Medicals showed he had a hamstring strain. Was hoping to push through it to potentially participate today in the testing. He will not, though, again, with a hamstring strain. Does not appear to be anything too serious. Can talk a little Sabres, though, after a quick timeout. It's a fun night for the Carolina Hurricanes, doing a little bit of throwback. We'll talk about that after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
You are listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
I'd say 3 months ago, it would have been 5-1 loss, honestly. And you just see the maturity, you see the change, you see no one was down. We were pushing each other, we were pressing each other, we were making sure each other were held accountable and making sure we were doing the right things the whole time, and it was contagious. I mean, we had line after line going out there and playing the right way, even if they had a good shift against us, because hey, they got a lot of good players over there and they're a good team and they're well coached. So if they're going to come out and we know they're going to have a good shift, we have to have a better one right after that.
That's Sabres forward Alex Tuch. I think he's spot on. Especially the beginning part, well, I fully believe that.
Well, yeah. That's how a 13-game losing streak happens.
Yeah. But even, too, like the whole they chased goalies out, but they kept losing. The moment like something got tough, they folded. You look, too, at you know, they're up 2-0. They get one goal back. Another team gets one goal back. They collapse. The last game they played, they go up 2-0, or they go down 2-0. The team most of that year would have just... All right, not our night. We're getting goal lead on both ends.
Yep.
They just kept coming after wave after wave after wave. And now tonight, taking on the Whalers, baby.
No,
I did not misspeak. It is Whalers night for the Carolina Hurricanes. That's awesome. I think they're going to get blown out now.
What a turn.
Just going to say that now.
I was not ready for that last part of the sentence.
Big uniform aesthetic guy.
What a turn.
The Sabres are in bad.
The Sabres have some of the best uniform aesthetics in all of hockey when it comes to three uniform totality.
Yep. And we used all of our good magic with the black and reds already.
How you look does not matter.
It super matters.
The Buffalo Sabres are peak
super matters.
Proof that it doesn't matter.
Super matters.
Nope.
Carolina's going to put up 7 tonight. They're not playing well. I am nervous. I'm very nervous now. They look good. Don't give me it was Hartford. I know. Why do we ever get rid of the Hartford Whalers? It was an institution in hockey.
Because they were playing in a mall.
It's so cool.
I know it's cool, but it's not.
It's so cool.
It's cool, but not financially reasonable.
Yeah, sure. Money's a myth created by man.
That is true.
Come on. They're playing in a shopping mall with cool uniforms in Connecticut. Keep them. For the vibes.
I agree with you.
Although Carolina has become a very good franchise in and of itself. So
never forgiving them.
Well, fair.
Stay salty, my friends.
Stay salty, my friends.
I'm excited for tonight's game, though. I really, really am.
Rob Brindamore, punchable face.
He's been there for so long.
He was there when they beat the freaking Sabres as a player.
He's been there for so long. Like, in a sport like hockey where they kind of can go through head coaches pretty rapidly, even
very quickly, typically.
Teams, and Carolina has not won a cup with him as coach. Still there. Still there. I mean, for a decent part of his tenure,
it was you were not getting any sort of goaltending at all.
You still kind
of
don't.
And he still doesn't really have that good of goaltenders. Like, yeah. Freddie Anderson's fine, but he's hurt all the time.
Yeah. You just get really, really good defense.
Yep.
But I'm excited for tonight's game. They haven't won there, though, since 2016, which is maybe the most
depressing. So they're due?
Depressing. I want to say that so bad, but it's so just deflating.
There's your nonsense reason for why they're going to win. Your nonsense reason for why they're going to lose is it's Whalers night.
Yeah.
We have our nonsense reasons.
There we go. It's just they're healthy. They're playing really well. Carolina's not particularly playing well. The last game I think they played was them getting blown out by Montreal 4-0. So I want to say I feel good, but I don't, because Carolina is also one of the few good teams that they really don't get up against.
Oh, you know what? Credit where credit's due.
Oh, no. What happened?
Adam Schefter tweeted out a picture of the Starbucks head on a swivel. Sometimes when it's funny, it's funny.
I don't want to talk about the Sabres anymore. I want to get right back to that.
Oh, man.
Head on a swivel, baby.
Head on a swivel.
Who do you think is going to get more mad at that tweet? Schultz Rapp. Or Rapp? Okay. I'm glad we're on the same
page. Rappaport has the bigger reputation. I think he'll be the one that gets more upset about it. Especially because there are going to be people saying, matter-of-factly, you're carrying water for the NFL. You're defending the shield.
Yeah. Rappaport's punching air right now. He saw that tweet and losing it. Do you think they had each other muted?
Air or a picture of Jordan Schultz's face?
Well, no. Now it's a different person, so.
Now it's Shifty.
Now he's upset. But you think they have each other muted?
He's punching the Starbucks logo.
Shows up, smashes it. Loses it. All of a sudden, the testing's not the biggest story of the combine.
What is
the reporters fighting?
What is the drink you order in the background of a coffee shop fight?
Oh.
Like, you know how in fighting games, there's people just doing, they're still just like, nope, don't affect me. I'm doing my daily work.
Living their lives.
What is the drink you order?
Well, you're going to Starbucks.
When you've got Street Fighter order. 7 going on at Starbucks.
Yeah, the most complicated order. You want to act like nothing that's happening is behind me is actually real.
Yes.
And you want to throw everyone else off around you that are like, what? You said 19 ingredients. What are you ordering?
Wait, what's going on back there? You said 17 pumps of espresso?
I did. It's the NFL combine, if you haven't noticed. I'm up all night.
Yeah, that's true, actually. That's probably very common.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my God, that's funny, though. Head on a swivel.
That is beautiful. Indianapolis, all capitals. Head on a swivel.
Oh, man. Oh.
And what's like the number one rule for reporters? You're not the story.
Yeah.
The testing hasn't started yet. And Rappaport's the main story. Him and Schultz are. I don't want to say it's just one of them. It's both of them. It's so bad.
That's one of those things where, like, you know how some people, like, they'll try to quote tweet it being like, oh my God, that's so funny. No, there's no notes. No comments.
No notes. Perfect.
You just share it with everyone.
Perfection.
It's perfection. You don't need to do anything.
All right, back to the Sabres.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Sabres fact.
I'm sorry that I threw everything off.
This isn't going to be a fun fact.
It's a double-edged sword. How about that?
You know, I like my dessert first.
All right, so on the good side, the Buffalo Sabres have 8 players with over 30 points. Tage Thompson, Rasmus Dahlin, Jason Zucker, Alex Tuck, J.J. Paterka, Owen Power, Dylan Cousins, and Ryan McLeod. Bowen Byram has 29.
Okay. What's the veggies?
They are tied with the best teams in the league. Washington and Winnipeg are the only other teams that have 8 or more players with 30 points.
See what I mean, Derek? See what I mean? This is not fun facts.
If Bowen Byram gets to 30 tonight, the Sabres will have the most players in the league with over 30 points.
We're in hell.
This is like him giving me like the death counts of the Crusades. This is unbelievable. This is not a fun fact.
We're in hell.
This is just, it's more of us like, oh, look at the goal difference. The Sabres are right, oh, they're in last. They're right with everybody, though. They have more goals, like 20
Sabres
more goals than everybody with
them.
Seven
of their last eight, still in last.
Yeah, Operation 10 Straight's more like Operation 15 out of 16.
Operation Give
amazing.
Me My Sanity Back.
He's not doing well.
You know what also is fun, though? The 2011 team that made the playoffs the last time. They also had to make a big comeback.
They
in
did.
The
they did. That is.
You know what this team's going to do?
Not that.
I think they're going to do it. I think they're going to do
it. It was the pause by you, though, where I'm like, he can't get through it.
No, I was
waiting for you to say what I said.
I think
that would have been the ultimate heel turn.
I don't want to make a prediction because I don't do those things. But you know what I'm thinking. You know the
hey,
logo I'm wearing
all,
on my
if
hat
anyone
right
has
now. You know the logo I'm wearing on my shirt right now. This goat head's gonna be back in the playoffs, baby.
I have a Sabres hoodie on right now.
Would
too.
They wear a goat head jersey in the playoffs?
Probably not. But.
Yeah, which is a little upsetting.
Maybe.
Could you imagine like spirit, a random like game three? They're like goat head night.
Game seven.
Goat head night.
I love the ideal of talking about this, but like, we have to see it in order to actually have discussions about that. Do I like how they've been playing? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
If they keep up this pace, that's great. However, you have to keep up this pace to have a chance. This is not to get yourself in. This is to have a better than 50% chance of making it.
But look at Ottawa. Ottawa lost five straight. They're the team you're chasing.
Yeah, they are one of your
teams.
It's them, Columbus, Detroit. Those are kind of the main dogs you're chasing.
You're chasing everybody still.
Well, yeah, you haven't leapfrogged anybody yet.
You have not gone over anyone.
You're chasing Ottawa, who's on a five-game losing streak, Boston on a
four-game
losing streak.
You are chasing the butt-tastic New York Islanders.
That are also on a four-game losing streak.
I thought he was going to say Pittsburgh, though.
Four of the teams ahead of you are on a four-game losing streak or more. Ottawa has five.
Oh, my God.
Everyone else is just kind of plugging away.
And
that point pace is going to change. It's going to get lower.
That is how deep, though, the hole that was dug in December.
It's why I bring up, like, I know the morning guys have done the Operation 10 straight. For me, it's 15 of your last 16 games. That is an absurd pace.
Yeah.
Which would do legitimately a complete 180 of the 13-game losing streak. Which then, I mean, if you go that route or even Lindy's route, which is, you know, picking up points as you go, don't hit a certain amount of losses, it would still lead you to the final three games of the year, win them all.
Yeah, but if you win the 10 straight, that almost eliminates that you have to win three at the end of the year.
That's right.
It puts
you in a spot of just you're pressuring now everybody.
I just hate the nuclear damage that losing streak did to their season because they are capable of being a playoff team based on their talent and their play generally throughout.
But if you also
lost 13 straight and you only have 7 in the hole on goal differential, you nearly double that with the losing streak for your number.
And if you look at the last three games
of
the year, it's Tampa.
Is a Sabres fan, and we are not getting out. And at some point, you want to try to logically look at what needs to change and everything like that. But I'm getting more and more convinced by the day. We're just a word that I'm not going to say on the radio. And we have to deal with it.
Maybe they'll make a move at the deadline.
Please do.
Probably not.
I'm not dreading it. It's just, this is how irritating it is that this losing streak happened this season. If it was last year, fine. Last year was a throwaway. Perfectly fine by me. And even then, last year, you were still somehow in a playoff chase. Last year, with all the disaster and being unable to score goals, you were in a playoff chase later on and in a better place on February 27th than you are this year.
Yeah. And we'd argue players like Jason Zucker have been a massive improvement to the team. Paterka had a run there. He was amazing. Thompson's back to form where he wasn't really at all last year.
And like
Bo Byram and Dahlin are on the team all year this year.
Yeah.
But I mean, even go back to the beginning of the year too. where if they just had a league average power play or just not the worst in the league by a mile, they were probably picking up some wins.
And that's
that they
the problem is
had.
That every year is there's this dumb catastrophic thing that happens to them that is ruining this core, this version of the team right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it is overall more enjoyable to get smacked in the shin by a razor scooter than it is to have to endure the playoff drought.
Oof. That's you're playing with fire there. That's
no worse. I'm playing with a razor scooter with my ankles.
I don't know if that's painful. But
so is this.
Yeah. It's just
I hate it.
It is going like through the years though, where it's just it is one you brought one catastrophic thing that leaves them absolutely zero room for error
Ready?
Everywhere else.
We are noting how the point total is going to go down for the wild card. It's prorated to 2 years ago and the personal hell that we were dealt there.
Mm-hmm. Where you could score like the wind, you couldn't make a save.
But also,
you could not buy a save.
You also lost 8 games in a row in regulation and got 0 points.
Mm-hmm.
That happened again this year on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of 8, it's 13.
Yeah.
And the number to get in the playoffs is lower. So to prorate it, the losing streak is higher.
Yeah, it got worse.
It gets worse so that you're farther away from the lower point total. Even though you are a team that before the losing streak and after the losing streak, you have shown capable of being a playoff team this year.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a sports god, stop punching me in the groin, please. I would really appreciate it.
Let's turn this a little positive. At what point in this little streak? Let's say
but
they
just
win.
Mean.
Let's say they win tonight. They play 3 games next week, including they have a game on Saturday as well.
If they win tonight, you are looking at more consistency of putting wins together than you have seen the Sabres do
In years.
In years.
But let's say they win tonight, and they win Saturday. At what point will you be like, oh, we've got something here?
If you can get to within 4 points,
mm-hmm.
then you've got me back all the way. I'm still going to watch. I'm still going to love watching hockey because I love watching hockey.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are talking about realistic playoff chances, do not talk to me until they get to within 2 games. Because that is the only way I'm going to legitimately look at it. And even then, it might piss me off more. Because for 13 losses in a row, I have a general manager who sat on his hands. Again.
Yep.
And if it's inability or unwillingness, either way, that's fireable. You are a results-based league. You're in a results-based business. If I do something wrong 13 days in a row, and I do nothing about it, I probably get fired.
Yeah.
You say something wrong every day you're on.
Well, you know, we're trying. I don't really know.
Everyone here should be fired.
I don't know if the Sabres management's really trying all that much at times.
That's the thing. Whether it's inability or unwillingness, either way, it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
For an entire month. Not even a waiver move to cut someone to Rochester. To send a message.
Yeah, weirdly enough, even during this like hot run they've had, they had one of their low points of the season.
The better they do, the more upsetting it might get for me. Because again, it is the 8-game losing streak from 2 years ago prorated to this down season that everyone's having.
No, it's right. Yeah, like literally.
Like that's what I mean when I say
to stay bad.
This is hell.
But I mean, like even looking at this team though, even during this hot run of form that they have had, they had one of their low points of the
season.
They
are still not out of it.
Oh yeah, they're not even close.
That's the problem. You are looking like one of the best teams in hockey right now, especially coming into and out of the Four Nations tournament.
Yeah.
And yet, you are still not out of the power bomb that life gave to you. in December.
Mm-hmm.
That is just how bad it really was. And I'm going to love watching tonight because it's going to be clean.
I was going to joke, what's your excitement level for this game? 7?
The aesthetic is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And I want them to win. And I want them to make me at least be ready to come back for next year because I'm a sicko. And I don't know any better for myself.
Start looking at the standings, baby.
Not even the standings. Give me something to watch for.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a reason to keep coming back. I know that I have to keep coming back. I have a stupid microphone in my face. That's why I have to keep coming back to this team. I'm a sicko. I'm a degenerate when it comes to hockey. I'm going to watch the hockey team. But there are people out there that are thinking like this. Give me a reason to come back next year.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I need to see from the Sabres for the rest of the year. Like I said, if they get to 4 points, we could talk about a playoff conversation. But right now, they're still 11 points out.
How much damage, though, has the organization done to a fan base where, you know, 2 years ago they were 1 point out of a playoff spot?
They had momentum.
That was the momentum. That was the, oh, okay, now I'm...
Wait,
we might
be actually back.
Yeah, now I'm excited to watch next year. And then they floundered it in free agency. There was no pulse.
They floundered it with the whole offseason, not then, just free agency. You could have traded for something,
the
you
whole
didn't.
Offseason. And then what we find out, you know, come training camp from Kyle Poso talking about it, they knew basically by like October they didn't have it. Even I think actually earlier they knew they didn't have it.
Yeah, it was within the first 2 months.
And they did nothing again. So, you know, again, we're mentioning, you know, we're already kind of mentioning next year, and that's fair because you bring up a great point that even through how great they're playing, and this is why I've brought up, it's not really Operation 10 straight, it's Operation 15 out of the last 16. That's absurd. But you look at it, how many fans are actually going to look at, let's say they finish 3 points out of a playoff spot? How many fans are really going to sit there and go, oh, I'm ready to go for next year? Because of just how fresh it was of you being out of 1 point and you came back and played like crap to start the year and you did nothing in the offseason.
That's the part that's really going to start turning away some more diehards is.
Well, and that's the thing.
So if you go on a run and you make it a promising end to your season and you do nothing again.
Yeah. And that's my, you mentioned it, I think, yesterday.
Super fire the general manager.
But you mentioned it yesterday. Adams kind of has like a 6 month window. Like, you're not expecting huge trades or huge moments.
Deadline is tough this year for him.
I get that.
But I am talking about when they step back on the ice in September, somebody who is not a Buffalo Sabre,
mm-hmm.
who is a noteworthy player in the National Hockey League, needs to be a Buffalo Sabre.
And it's just up to this point.
Could it be? Maybe you get lucky and Mitch Marner just wants to come here.
Yeah.
But that counts.
That does count. We had somebody tweeting yesterday saying that too. Like, what? How does that change?
That would count.
The feelings around Adams. It would change a lot. I don't expect it. And that's maybe the biggest thing and why I joke around a lot with the Sabres.
Because they deserve your scorn and your mockery.
I do expect them to go on a run. I expect them to go on a run that will put them into a spot where, as we mentioned, if you didn't have a 13-game losing streak, you were comfortably in the playoffs.
Yes.
Like 2 years ago, where if you didn't have 8 games of no points, because that was the one big difference of this 13-game losing streak, because you actually were able to have some loser points. If you had any points in an 8-game losing streak, you'd have made the playoffs.
You're in.
And so that's why I do joke about him. It's just, at what point am I supposed to actually get excited for him?
That's why I said,
every turn of the last 4 years that I maybe want to get excited, you've punched me in the face.
By the way, you only got 3 points in that 13-game losing streak.
It was still better than none through 8.
Ready? If I take away those 3 points.
Oh, well, actually, no, it's not. No, yeah. It's not.
No, it's not. It's not. Literally worse.
Okay.
It is actually worse.
The aesthetic was better because you actually got loser points. Where before you batted zero.
Especially because the first 2 games of that losing streak, they were actually like tough losses of like, they were kind of impressive. Like
It was not a signal that they were going to
streak. You outplayed Minnesota and you got goalied in a 1-0 loss.
It was not a signal that
you clawed your way back and stole a point in a game that you had no business getting to against Vancouver.
Yep.
And then Colorado in regulation.
You're making me less excited for tonight's game. And
I don't mean to.
I was going to say, it's not really anything you're doing. It's more
of just Holy bleep.
Yeah, I kind of
the damage this streak did.
Yeah, I kind of enjoyed the good hockey, but then you sit back and it's more or less putting it
in a perspective of, oh my God, this really hurt that much.
Yeah, they're too far away.
That said, I love watching hockey. I'm a moron. Go
and
Sabres.
Fun. And they're fun. 803-0550, the number two call. Going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we'll keep talking Sabres, take your calls as well. Also listen back to Tron Davenport, who joined Sac Pot Show down in Indianapolis. We'll listen back to that after a quick time out. You're listening to The Extra Point Show on WGR.
We're in a better place as a group. We're trying to just maintain this consistent style of play. And I think every coach, whatever system they're playing, believes that if they can get consistent play night in, night in, shift in, shift out, when you get a big lead, you know, there's a case in point. If you're going to give up something, make sure it's not a high-quality opportunity and don't get loose. I think in the past, we've got a little bit loose. It's allowed teams to kind of claw their way back. I think we've learned our real hard lesson. We had some tough losses. I think it's made us tougher, and we've moved on from it, and I think we're better for it.
Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones here with you. I've calmed down.
I'm happy for you on that.
I'm loving that they're watchable. Like, that's the thing, is that they are an enjoyable team to watch this year. They really are. When you put it in the vacuum of watchability, they're inconsistent, but when they are on their game, it is a damn good product that they can put out on the ice. And all that does, though, to me, or like the first thing it does to me, and the most painful thing it does to me, though, is I look back at a general manager's inaction twice now, two off seasons ago, and during this losing streak. That's the part that hurts. Because there is promise within this group. There's promise within this core. And they are entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I love the fact that Jiří Kulík has effectively arrived and is getting top 6 minutes, no problem. That is a good thing. You saw flashes of the kid line in the last game. That's awesome. And I think that this is going to be the most interesting thing that I say today about all of this. The Buffalo Sabres are Dylan Cousins.
Oh, don't say that.
Promise, inconsistency, drive you up a wall. But it's there.
It's there. It's there. Oh, that is so frustrating. Oh, man.
I just killed Zach. Sorry.
He didn't even have a good game the other night. Like, for two periods, it was pretty much like...
But then he shined.
And then in the third period, he has three assists. And he had a lot of hits throughout the game, a lot of shots.
But they were also quality plays that he set up.
Mm-hmm.
For a couple of those. Like, they were very good passes.
But then, and still, more and more people are just like, get him out of this team.
And ready?
Anything you can get for him.
And ready? He is the most frustrating aspect of them. That's why the Sabres are very comparable to the player itself.
Yeah.
Because the Buffalo Sabres are very much the most frustrating thing about Buffalo sports.
Ugh.
Should we move on?
I just want one season where I'm not constantly I know ebbs and flows will come with the Sabres. I've now like gone to the I'm on my knees here, man. I am begging. Just give me a season where like
everything's actually just okay.
They're just okay, and there's never a moment where I'm thinking, oh, the season's dead. Even if they don't make the playoffs, I just want a season where, like, we're constantly in the hunt. Here we go.
At this point, I need to be able to turn to you guys and go, is this real?
Well, we would do that in that season, though. We would. But instead, every year, early, they shoot themselves in the foot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they spend the rest of the year learning the same lessons again.
Yep.
And eventually get hot during the new year, but dug such a hole they can't climb out of it. But then, don't worry, at locker cleanout, we will hear how upset they are and how mad they're not playing hockey. Don't worry, we're going to hear it again.
For me, I'm not sure how much of this I want to actually put into the players.
Oh, I don't disagree. I'm with you on that. But
because it is hard to not try in hockey. It is very hard.
Well, yeah, going back to
something PK Subban said.
PK Subban.
It is very hard. It is very hard to not put in the effort.
Mm-hmm.
I, again, look at a person sitting there in the general manager position. You had a chance to give this team the boost that they need. Because when you buy, you're telling the team, we believe in you, and here's why. There's proof. I've got this big name coming in to help you guys out because you're it.
Yeah. I'm going to take some off your shoulders. Get this other guy in here.
No, it's also
the locker room.
It's also, I believe in you. Yeah. Let's go.
Let's go. 803-0550, the number to call. I want to talk Sabres. Are you kind of in the same boat me and Derek are in, where it's just, I'm excited. They're playing better, but it's still just too little too late. But before that, it's now snowing here at our Amherst studios.
Yeah,
but
I'm looking like
I don't think
at the window.
Yeah.
With the reflection, I'm not turning around and looking at it like you are.
Yeah.
The flakes are massive.
They are big.
They are huge flakes. I don't think, though, it's snowing in Indianapolis. And we'll go back there as Sal Capaccio met with Titans reporter Teron Davenport. And here is that interview.
Teron Davenport from ESPN NFL Nation. Always a good time to catch up with you at the NFL Combine. You're looking great, buddy. How you feeling? Everything
Thank
good?
You. Hey, listen, man. No bad days. That's my motto. But forget me. I got to talk about this Blazer you have on today.
Oh, man.
More importantly, the one yesterday. I really like that.
Thank you. I love that. We share a barber. You're looking good.
That's right.
That.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier.
Gillette Mach 3.
You just wake up in the morning. It's a lot easier to
get yourself
get
a fresh shade.
Get over here and we can get our work done as we're watching these defensive tackles, defensive ends today. But obviously, the Tennessee Titans in a position to really pick whoever they want in the NFL draft.
Yeah.
What is your sense of right now of where they're going?
There are a multitude of directions they could go. Free agency, I think, is going to tell you a lot. I think they go Abdul Carter right mm-hmm. now. They really don't know for sure. They met with Shedeur Sanders at the Shrine game, and they really liked him. They're yet to meet with Cam Ward. I know Travis Hunter, there's interest there. They said they would start him at corner, and I just don't know if you draft a corner number one, but Abdul Carter, you saw what the Eagles did to Patrick Mahomes. That pass rush and everything.
Yeah.
So that put that value up a lot.
Why did Will Levis not work out?
I don't have enough time to give you every reason. But I'll say he is, if you look at Will Levis and see him in person, it's very similar to Josh Allen, where you're like, you know, if God were to make a quarterback, this would be the physical result, right? But it's just the mental aspect, being able to take what he's learned in the classroom to the practice field, that's happening, but relaying that to the playing field and just being a pleaser, always wanting to do too much, that's really been the issue. And you saw that in the Bears game where he was going down and he just shot put at the ball. Tyreek Stevenson picked it up, pick six, and that won the game.
Yeah, yeah. And now because of that, they are in the quarterback market.
Yeah.
And you just mentioned Shedeur Sanders. So what's the plan here, do you think, of how they go about this if they – don't get one number one and don't go quarterback? Is it free agent market? Is it trade? What do you think?
Yeah, so I in talking to Mike Borgonzi, and I had a couple conversations just one-on-one, and we talked about how they go about building a roster, and he reverted back to the Kansas City days. So I asked him specifically, hey Mike, listen, are you of the school where you build the roster and you drop the quarterback in, or what are your thoughts about getting the quarterback and building around him? And he said, listen, I build from the trenches. And I believe in what we've done before, which was drafting Eric Fisher, number one, trading for Alex Smith, rocking it out for 3 years, and then getting Patrick Mahomes because they felt they had to get to the next level, trade up to 10 to get him because he gave them a different degree. And, you know, once Patrick Mahomes starts, you know personally from being in Buffalo, once he started, six straight AFC championship
games. That's good insight because that does tell you that maybe they'd rather go the route of what you're saying instead of taking a quarterback early in the draft. Is it also because, in your own personal opinion here too, maybe these quarterbacks aren't quite ready for that particular, this class, you know what I mean? And, and to me, this isn't a class that has a Josh that we know of now and what that class was, and Patrick Mahomes and those guys. Mm-hmm.
Ironically, when the Chiefs and Mike Borgonzi was part of that crew, when they passed up at a quarterback despite needing one at number one, you had Geno Smith E.J. Manuel.
Right. The Bills traded down and took him.
Yeah, you guys are very familiar with that.
Yeah.
And so that was considered a questionable draft. And when I look at these guys, honestly, I would put Shedeur right there and Cam right there with J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, last year. I think they could have been first-round picks last year I know there's different knocks and things on him, but I mean, look, no prospect is perfect. I think Shador is one of the most NFL-ready quarterbacks to come to this league in the last 2 years. Cam Ward is plutonium-level potential. I love the dog in him. And you heard what he said. Hey, you pass on me, you're going to regret it. And the last guy to say that was Peyton Manning. You know, so I like that swagger, that moxie.
So what other things do the Titans need to do this offseason? Like, what's their big areas they have to address?
So offensive line is critical, right? You look at the right tackle position. They gave up 29 total sacks from the right tackle position. That's more than any other right tackle group in the league.
Wow.
So that immediately, you got to take care of that. It's been an issue dating back to 2019, right? So you have that. They need inside linebacker help. They need safety help. Quarterback, we talked about. Receiver, right now, Calvin Ridley is the only experienced receiver on the roster, literally. So they need help there. I think you look at returner. This team hasn't had a punt return for a touchdown since 2012.
Wow.
The last kick return for a touchdown was A.J. Brown in 2020 on an onside kick. So they need some type of, you know, excitement.
Sure.
John Fassel, Bones Fassel, as they call him, him getting the new ST job, I think that's going to help a lot. He's bound to find somebody.
How did things go with Calvin Ridley after the contract that they gave him?
I think it went well. And I smiled because I remember training camp. Calvin was a little abrasive, right? But as he started to settle in, and the thing was, and I actually did a story on him, he was having trouble catching the football. And so he went back to basics. They have this machine called the Lobster.
Okay.
And it's a jugs machine that shoots tennis balls.
Okay.
And he would catch those. He worked with John Shaw, one of the strength and conditioning coaches, and they just would do a whole new routine pregame, right? The week they did that, that game, he blew up and had like 140-something yards on 12 catches against the Lions. And that kind of like launched him forward to the 1,000-yard season. Talking to him all year, like that was critical for him to do. I love Ridley, man. He's a great guy to talk to. And, you know, he's a really good player, too. Yeah. So sudden in and out of his routes.
Before I let you go, I know that you know very well Mike Vrabel. You got to know him and his staff very well. Obviously, he's in New England now and a place we know of him from Buffalo when he played.
Yeah.
They have a lot of work they have to do, but what do you think about Mike and his fit in New England? And obviously, with the Bills ahead of them so far, where they are in the AFC East, but how they can try to rise up a little bit.
Facing Mike Vrabel twice a year, the Bills training staff, and we know they are awesome. Right, but they better stock up on Advil, Aleve, and all that stuff. Because it's a true fight when you go against a Mike Vrabel team. He preaches like building a callus and being tough and hard-nosed and making it a back-alley fight. So you're going to have that. They're going to run the football. They're going to be physical. Josh Allen is going to have to get used to seeing coverage.
Yep.
I'm talking about like rushing four, dropping seven, because that's what Vrabel loves to do. It's going to be a really good opportunity to just play physical football. And man, I love Josh Allen. I love Keon Coleman. Cook, you know, so I'm looking forward to seeing those matchups because I'm low-key a Bills fan. Andre Reed is my favorite player of all time.
I know.
And I love Thurman. Yeah, Jim Kelly, all those. I mean, listen, we go into Keith McKellar. We could go talk about Biscuit. You know, we could talk about all those guys. I'm a Bill. I love the Bills.
Anytime you want to come to Buffalo, those guys are around a lot for a lot of events. They love the place where they played. Thurman still lives there. Steve Tasker's right behind the curtain doing a show right now. You know, all those guys. And Jim still lives in the area, obviously. And it's always great to catch up with you, brother. Thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, take care, man.
All right, you got it.
That was Teron Davenport with Sal Capaccio. We're going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we'll get you ready for Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock as the Sabres are on the road to take on Carolina. We also got some birthday wishes to throw out there after a quick time out. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we get you ready for Sabres Live coming up next after a quick timeout.
Sabres Canes, Catch the Fever. Sorry. I do apologize.
Sabres Whalers, by the way, sir.
Sorry. You had a live read. You were doing your job, and I cut you right off.
This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And Whalers, sir.
Sabres Whalers.
Be correct.
Sabres Whaler Canes.
Sabres Whaler Canes.
Sabres Whaler Canes.
It's not making up new animals.
It's not a slash. It's Whaler Canes.
Whaler Canes. We do have a little bit of an update for tonight's game. Jason Zucker is going to be a game time decision. This is coming from Lance Lysowski. If he cannot go, it appears it is going to be Sam Lafferty that will draw into the lineup. And Before we get out of here, we did mention some birthday wishes.
Yeah.
And, well, one of them is a belated birthday. So we'll start there.
The day after.
We'll start there.
Sorry, Pat.
Pat Malacaro, birthday yesterday. Wish him well as well, especially with we're not too far off from the Bison's getting underway here as well.
He is going to be ready to go.
M-N is going to – we're talking about grinds for reporters, play-by-play guys, the whole thing. Baseball.
Baseball is it.
Hard ride. And then today, as the Sabres get ready to take on Carolina, way the Canes, Paul Hamilton, also a wonderful happy birthday to him as well. Hopefully the Sabres play well tonight, so it's a good birthday. Solid birthday.
We saw the tweet, by the way, of coming from Sabres Fun Stats.
Seriously.
The lettuce on Paul Hamilton's head.
Yeah. Dude's got head hair.
Dude.
And I do not put that in the past tense. I do not put that in the past tense. He still has great hair.
He still has great hair.
But he had the hockey flow going.
Yeah. The lettuce.
Really, he really, really did.
The romaine on that head.
Still, if I were him, and I say this to him every time I think about
it. He should grow it out again.
I'm going to start saying that to him. But I say to him still to this day, you should start every conversation with people of, I tried out for the Miracle Hockey Team. I don't know why that is not the immediate icebreaker for him. It needs to be. We'll push it. I'll push it to him.
Nah, Paul has that swagger every day.
That's true. Coming up next, more Sabres. Sabres Live after a quick timeout. This is WGR.